Well, I'm doing show and tell again for this chapel, and so I've got some items here I want to share with you in a minute. But please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms first. Psalm 16 and verse 6. I'm opening my John R. Rice reference Bible. Okay. Psalm 16 and verse 6. This is a verse that I discovered after coming here, and I read it, and I said, that's exactly what I was feeling at that point. Psalm 16 and verse 6 says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." When I came here, I ran right into my heritage. Geldern and his father, and so many names you hear around here. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, bless as I preach the word, and I pray that it would be help and a means of growth for our students. Thank you for them and their love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So my heritage involves being the grandson of a famous preacher, John R. Rice, and that's why I'm using the John R. Rice reference to Bible today. Given to me by my beloved grandma when we left for Japan. Grandma Rice leaving for Japan March 9, 1981. So it was just out then. This is one of the first copies of it. I have three more at home. I have my dad's. I have another one my wife gave me and another one I forget where it's from. I went off to Bible college, and one of the first things that happened to me is I became aware of my heritage. It was a big Bible college, and it had, you know, great big dorms, and I was on a hall, and each hall had a hall monitor, and the hall monitor came down to my room and said, "I heard you're John R. Rice's grandson." And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Prove it." "Prove it?" Well, in the first place, at that point, I didn't know my grandpa was famous, okay? How many freshmen here? Okay. However raw you feel you were when you came to campus, I was more raw. I had one sport coat, two neckties, clip-ons. I think I had two pairs of pants. Okay, I was totally raw. And this guy comes in my room, he's supposed to be my next authority over me, and he says, "Prove who your grandpa is." Well, I had this that my grandma and grandpa had given me. And I'll read you what it says in it. "To John Rice Himes, congratulations on your 14th birthday, and love and pride and great expectations from your granddad and grandmother Rice. God bless you. Signed, John R. Rice, Psalm 126:6, and Lois C. Rice, Psalm 16:11. So I showed him this, and he said, "John R. Rice is your grandpa." I just figured everyone had a grandpa that wrote 200 books. And preached all over the world and was famous. It was normal to me, and my heritage included, well, soul winning. When I was 6 years old, I led my first soul to the Lord. That's what you did when you were Rice. A little boy named Paul at my kindergarten. And I said, "Have you ever been saved?" And he said, "No." I said, "Why not?" And he said, "I don't know how." I told him how I got saved. And he trusted Christ as Savior. The next day, he and his mother came over and we're out, Paul and I are out playing, and my mother calls me, and, "Johnny, come here." And, "Oh, no, what have I done now?" And I go and see what's going on, and his mother says, "Thank you for leading my son to Jesus." Well, okay, fine, but that's just what you're supposed to do in the John R. Rice. So eventually, I wrote a book, not the book you're thinking of. I wrote this book, The Making of a Soul Winner. So I graduated from college. I went one semester to seminary, one God's will at that point for me to pursue a master's. And The Making of a Soul Winner, John R. Himes. And I worked at the Sword of the Lord for 1 year. And I just put this together. I wrote a bunch of memories I had, chapter one, Memories of a Great Soul Winner. And that was about my grandpa. So the next chapter about soul winning memories, things people died, blend to Christ. And the next chapter after that. Just four chapters, make your own memories. Why don't you go out and win some to the Lord? And then chapter four, how to become a soul winner. So real simple book, you know. I wrote a few poems in there. You know, oh, here's a poem. If I could die a martyr's death for Christ, I would for him. If he should ask my eyesight, I would let my eyes go dim. Well, that one's happening. If those I hold most dear he took, I'd count it but his will. And if my gifts from friends he needed, those would be his still. But all he asks is that I live today for him alone and seek to win some sinner that forever he'll bring home. For Jesus I will live my life, his word I shall obey. To all things else allegiance dies and love cannot hold sway. So the actual publisher lady, Miss Viola Walden in The Sword, said, you have to attribute those poems to someone. And I said, well, I wrote them. And she said, oh, really? She was real surprised that I had written poems. So I took it to Grandpa anyway, and I said, do you suppose you could publish this? And he took one look at it, and the first chapter's about him, and he said, yeah, let's publish it. And I said, can I revise it a little bit? No, yeah, all right, but hurry up. That's the way he was. He was a hard driver, you know, get it done right now or yesterday, and that's just just what he was. So eventually, as you know, I wrote this book and published right here. John R. Rice, the Last Revivalist of the 20th Century. What was I doing? I was taking my heritage and passing it on. That's what these books are all about. Passing my heritage on to others. What does your heritage involve? It involves your parents, your grandparents, the history behind them. It involves your country. You have a secular heritage of America. You're an American. That's a big deal, right? Right? Okay. You have the blessings of the freedoms we have in America. I went to a secular high school, a public high school, and I was on the wrestling team, ninth grade in junior high, and then 3 years in high school. And this is my heritage here, okay? It's an H. Anyone know what this is? Well, it's an H, yeah, but my son knows, okay? Has anyone been to a secular high school, a public high school? You've been, gone to there? Okay, maybe you know what it is. They still pass these out to athletes? Okay, all right, you guys know what it is. All right, I was on the wrestling team for 3 years, 10th, 11th, 12th, and so they gave me this to as a reward for being on the high school wrestling team. I never wrestled varsity because there were guys better than me, but I stuck it out. And my coach, Bruce Earhart, wonderful influence on my life, though I don't know if he was saved or not. But a wonderful, good man, influence on my life. I hope he was saved. I've sent him a tract years later. He told me, John, if you quit now, you'll quit the rest of your life. I wanted to quit. I went to him and said, I'm quitting. He said, no, if you quit now, you'll quit the rest of your life. Stick it out, get the H for Horlick High School. That stands for Horlick High School, Racine, Wisconsin. The type of wrestling this was is called catch-as-catch-can, or sometimes called catch wrestling, or sometimes nowadays they use the term folk wrestling. They never used that term when I was growing up. Folk wrestling is a certain style of wrestling that goes way back in American history. Abraham Lincoln was a catch-as-catch-can wrestler. If I remember correctly, he was undefeated over 100 matches, and no one ever, you didn't know that about Abraham Lincoln. He was an awesome wrestler, big, tall guy, skinny, but a farmer. He had those, we hated to wrestle the guys from farm towns because they had the muscles. And I could tell stories about that. But that's part of my heritage, my secular heritage. My heritage is an American, that kind of wrestling. We just participated in our heritage as voting. We are allowed to vote. We can vote, right? That's part of our heritage is in a democracy. I got to the mission field, and the senior missionary gave me this. Well, what is it? It's a chart that we use to win souls with. It's all sorts of Japanese verses and everything. These people are going to hell because they're going the wrong way, and there's hell. There's the fires of hell, and there's the door. It's the cross, a red cross. You go through the door to get to heaven, and there's heaven up there. And he said, John, here's how you use this. So he gave it to me, and I added this. I found a tract that had the empty tomb on it, and I would use that because the gospel is that Christ died for our sins and rose again, right? So I would use that when I witnessed. Well, the first time I used this, two young boys trusted Christ as Savior. I was barely competent in Japanese. I was going to language school trying to learn the language, but I learned enough. You know what? It's not hard to give the gospel in any language. You learn some basic grammar and basic vocabulary, you can do it. It's not that hard. It's when they start to ask questions, you know, who was Cain's wife, that kind of thing. Okay, now you're running into trouble. Here's my definition of a heritage. Something passed down to you from God by an elder, which you must pass on to others. I'm sharing with you my heritage today, but I want to challenge you. Take your heritage, your parents. If you've got good Christian parents, wonderful. If your parents are not Christians, they have still handed some things down to you, some character aspects and other things. Okay? Your grandparents, that's your heritage. Your heritage as an American, but especially your spiritual heritage, what I'm talking about today. I don't know if you've noticed, but we take that pretty seriously here at BCM. We have a heritage center. As you go in the Heritage Center, two doors, and go straight ahead, and on the wall, right before you turn into that hall, there's a plaque. Whose names are on it? Someone raise your hand, give me one name.
Ed Nelson.
Ed Nelson. Who else? Okay, Brother Cummins. Who else? I'm sorry? Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. And one more. Nope. Anyone else? Anyone know the other one? No, we do have the Parker Lectures. That's part of our heritage. Who's the fourth one? Oh, nobody. You're missing that part of your heritage. No, he was a great man. I knew him. He was a great man. That's part of my heritage to pass down to you, these great men. Charlie Kittredge. We're passing, here at BCM, we're passing down your heritage to you. So when we first moved to BCM, I vaguely knew in my head, you know, there are connections there. I remembered Pastor Van Gelderen Sr. and Dr. Ed Nelson both got together to help me get together with my wife. They introduced me to the woman I would eventually marry. They were wonderful. Did you know they're more matchmakers per capita in Baptist churches than anywhere else in the world? Okay. But I thank God for those men. I knew Monroe Parker. He was the director of the mission board. I joined Baptist World Mission, and I got to know him. He mentored me in a number of ways. I just thanked God for all of these men. They're my heritage, and I have to pass it down. I knew some of that stuff. I knew there were some connections, but I didn't really understand. Here's what I found out when he came here, and I probably had heard this many years before. Just you know, like you people, it goes here and here. Okay. Pastor Van Gelderen's father, the woman he married, you've heard his story, she was an orphan. But John R. Rice took her as his daughter, took her under his wings. She asked him to be her father, and he said yes. When she got married, he gave her away. He acted as the father walking her down the aisle, and then he preached the message as her pastor. Wow, I might have heard that many years ago, but I didn't remember. And my mother was one of her bridesmaids. Really? Wow, this is blowing my mind when we come here, and Pastor Van Gelder and I are talking, and it's incredible the way God brought me here to my heritage. BCM is my heritage. I never even knew it. It was the last school on my list to write and say, I'd like to teach the Bible. And Dr. Jim wrote me an email, and I didn't get it, went in the junk or something, and he wrote me another one, and then I had three telephone interviews, but God called us here, and this is 10 and a half years we've been here now. Here I am at my heritage, and I want to pass it on to you. That's part of my burden as a professor, as hopefully you can come to and ask questions about the Bible. I want to pass my burdens on to you. So let's look at some more verses. First of all, God gives you your heritage. Exodus 6:8. Turn to Exodus 6:8, please. Now, I got a lot of verses here in this first part, so keep up with me, please. Exodus 6:8. Okay, I'm almost there. Yeah, you're ahead of me. You're not keeping up with me. Okay, it says, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So all your material possessions, though, is a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 61 and verse 5. Psalm 61 and verse 5. I missed it. Why are the Psalms so short? Some of them. It says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Our heritage, our spiritual heritage, is directly from God. Okay? Don't waste it. Don't oppose it. Don't stray from it after you leave here. Keep it in your heart. Your heritage that we are passing down to you at BCM comes from God. I truly believe that. God's word is a heritage. Psalm 119, 111. That's part of the heritage you get, and we pass it down to you. Psalm 119, verse 11, the word of God is your heritage. And it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And the heritage comes down from God. That was verse 11. 111 is one I want. 111. That's a great verse. But 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The word of God, that's your heritage. We're passing it down to you. The knowledge that we have of the word of God, the things that we've learned in practical Christianity, we hand it down to you. And you are to hand it down to others. Sometimes called discipleship. We're calling it today handing your heritage down, giving your heritage to others, leading them in the word of God. How did you get it? Micah 7:14. Jonah, Micah. Let me see if I can find it quick this time. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Jonah, Micah. I get mixed up in the minor prophets. Do you? Micah 7:14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood. In the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. We are God's heritage. Where do we get our heritage? We get it from Bible translators and writers, whoever, you know, the men that translated this Bible. We get it from preachers, Dr. Parker, Dr. Nelson, John R. Rice, Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. and Jr., Dr. Cummins. When you see that plaque next time with those four men on it, next time, thank God. As you walk by it, say, thank you, God, for these godly men who have passed their heritage down to us at the Heritage Center. When you see those names, thank God for them. I often thank God for men in my life. I thank God for Dr. Parker. I thank God for those men who linked me up with my wife, Dr. Ed Nelson and Dr. Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. and Dr. Parker was involved in that too. I thank God for them. I thank God for the man who followed Dr. Monroe Parker, Dr. Fred Moritz. Every day I thank God for him. Tremendous influence in my life. Are you thanking God? Are you grateful for your heritage? This is where you're going to go astray. If you leave here and go astray, it's because you're abandoning your heritage given to you from God. Okay? You have tremendous musical heritage here. An amazing musical heritage. Everyone who comes here is amazed at the music here. And it's not CCM. Amazing. It's traditional music and it's beautiful. I'm not preaching against CCM. I'm just, maybe I should, but don't leave here and throw away the musical heritage of the wonderful hymns that we have. You know what? In churches like ours, everyone in the pews sings the hymns. In a church with CCM, a lot of them, and I don't know, I've not been to that. I've been to several. Several of my supporting churches turned more modern in their approach. But what happens? They put it up on a screen. And the old people, I remember one church, the old people just stood there. They didn't know the songs. They grew up singing from the hymn book. Right? And they knew how to sing parts. Next time, next service you go to here at our church, listen to around you. Maybe you'll hear some harp parts being sung. I always sing baritone or bass. I just love it. It's what a blessing it is. Paul said to hang on to your spiritual tradition, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. I think he's talking here about heritage. He uses the term traditions. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by or our epistle. So he's not talking about traditions as in 4th of July and Veterans Day and that kind of thing. Those are great traditions. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about traditions of the Word of God. In other words, the teaching that you have been handed down by those who taught you. Do you have a youth group leader? Do you have a Sunday school teacher that you remember with fondness? I do. I'm sure you do, too. That's part of your heritage, what they taught you. I will always thank God for Dr. Bud Lyles, who was the preacher. Okay, he was an evangelist, a local church evangelist. Probably none of you have heard of him. One of our graduates knew him very well. He's in heaven now, but she knew him very well. And he was the preacher when I dedicated my life to the Lord. Went down front with three other young people and said, I'll do anything God wants me to. And then he was the preacher when God called me to preach. He preached, he gave the invitation. I found myself at the front, didn't even know how I got there. God just took me and set me up at the front. If there was someone in the congregation watching, they would have seen me going, boink. Like, I don't know, that's the way it felt. I just, all of a sudden, I'm at the front, and Dr. Lyle says, what are you doing here? And I said, God called me to preach. I'd never thought of that before. I wanted to be a scientist at that point in my life. Dumb me, I'm terrible at math. And I got a terrible memory. I would not have made a good scientist, but he was the preacher, and I thank God for him. He handed down to me a heritage. And so I hand down to you my heritage, my spiritual heritage, and my family heritage as much as I can. In 1958, Floy Culbreth lost her wallet. Her daughter, Thea, was 6 years old. Lost her wallet. Didn't know where it went. She died in 2005 at age 87. 23, last year, Thea got a call, okay, from, of all places, a movie theater. And they said, we need to see you. And she went and met them, and they gave her her mother's wallet. Somehow it had gotten inside the wall of that movie theater, and they were renovating, and they found it. They found the name in there, and they tracked her down. She got her heritage. She went and looked in it, and there were some pictures, some photographs, but that was precious to her. What is your heritage to you? Do you think of it very often? Do you thank God for it? Like I said, when you go up to the Heritage Center next time, look at those names and thank God for them. Okay? God has blessed you with a tremendous heritage. What we have as believers is so much more precious than a wallet. My great-grandfather was named Will Rice. He was a cowboy. So I wear a cowboy belt buckle. Okay? The praying cowboy, if you're familiar with that. He's bowing down, his horse is there, and he's at the cross. Okay, I wear that in honor of my ancestors, my heritage. Will Rice was standing outside a tent evangelistic meeting, and he heard the gospel from inside. And he believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, standing outside the tent. Then he raised three evangelist sons. Bill Rice was one of the Bill Rice Ranch. My grandfather, John Rice, the second wife. He had three wives. He finally died after the third one. First wife died jumping out the window when she thought the Indians were attacking. That's my heritage. This belt buckle is part of my heritage. You know, the American Wild West, that's it. My grandpa rode horses, he rode a cow pony to Bible college when he first went to Bible college, rode a pony. Took care of his job on campus, taking care of the cows for the cafeteria for fresh milk. Okay, that was his job at college. Don't ever complain about your job. Think about what he had to do for his job. What do cows do? Okay, some of you are not getting this. Think about it later. Secondly, God helps you with your heritage. Isaiah 54:17. As you serve God, here's your heritage. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You have a godly heritage that God gave you, and God will take care of you as you seek to follow out on that heritage and pass it on to others. This was one of the favorite verses of my grandfather, John Rice, and he took it to say, never defend yourself. If you look at the controversies in his life, and there were quite a few, if you read my book, you'll read about one, two, three major controversies, four maybe in his life. I tell about four different controversies. He had controversies, okay? He was, we could call him a controversialist. He was a fundamentalist, fundamentalists. If you take your hat and drop it on the floor, he's arguing before it hits the ground. Okay? He was a debater in college on the debate team, championship debater. So, but if you read my book, and you read about those controversies, you will not read anything about him defending himself. He took this verse to say, God will defend me. God is taking care of me. I'm his. I belong to him. He's taking care of me. Because you're God's heritage, you are God's heritage. God is with you, okay? So when you leave this college and go out into serving God, he's with you. You might get incredibly lonely. There were times in Japan when we were incredibly lonely. At one point, we were the only independent Baptist missionaries in the city of Yokohama, 3 million people. And another missionary, not Baptist, invited us over. They were from Sweden or somewhere, and we went over and just really uncomfortable. Their beliefs weren't the same. They brought out the wine. Would you like some wine? No, thank you. And it got very lonely. But you know what? God was with us the whole time. What a blessing. I learned to walk with God through that. I learned, doesn't matter how lonely you are or alone you are, I learned to walk with God. And I could tell you a lot of stories about that. But if you someday have children, those are heritage from God, the Bible says. If you have many, many arrows in your quiver, that's the metaphor there. And I was out soul winning one day, and a guy said he told me how many kids he had, 6 kids or something. And I said, the Bible says you have you're blessed. You have your quiver full of them. And he said, yeah, I've got my quiver full right up to here. Kids weren't acting well that day. All of your property is God's heritage to you. Psalm 135 and verse 12. Every bit of property you have, you must consider it as coming from God. Psalm 135 and verse 12. And gave their land for a heritage unto Israel, his people. And then Psalm 136 and verse 21. Well, that's on the same page in the Rice Reference Bible. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. And that's about the land. Verse 21 is about the land. All of your personal possessions are from God. I still have Bibles that my father gave me. I have at home. I meant to bring it. Forgot. I've got a little New Testament that belonged to him when he was a pastor in Colorado for 5 years, something like 86 people. He won't hash marks in the back. These people won to Christ. About 86 people won to Christ in those 5 years. That's my heritage, my father, my mother. My mother was a tremendous soul winner. I remember one time she took me with her. So I'm going to go talk to this lady down the street from us. And I want you to come because she's got a teenage son and you're going to play with him. Okay. All right. So we went down and my mom talked to the woman, and I don't remember if she led her to Christ or not. I think she'd already been saved. She was trying to disciple her. And in the meantime, I played with the son. He taught me poker. I learned poker to please the Lord and my mother. Well, not exactly, that's your heritage, what your parents passed down to you. I remember my family devotions. We'd every night, family devotions. We'd read two verses apiece around the circle. I remember learning what the italics meant in the King James Bible. Okay, I went at school. They told me italics are there for emphasis. Think about that. So, like, I would read Psalm 136 and verse 10, and I'd put emphasis on the italicized word, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. My family laughed at me. I was the fourth of four at that time. I had a little sister later, but my family often laughed at me. How many identify with that statement? Okay. All right, especially if you had older siblings. But I remember those beloved family devotions. My father and mother, Dad came down with Alzheimer's at the end of his life, and still, Dad and Mom still had family devotions. She'd do all the reading and everything. He'd pick up a magazine and think it was the Bible, and he'd open it. The Alzheimer's affected his brain that way. But love Jesus Christ. They put him in the hospital for the last time, and he wanted to preach to all the old people in one big room there where all the old people were, that, you know, was in the old person's area. And he led them in singing. He still remembered some songs, and they all sang with him, and then he started preaching from a magazine he thought it was the Bible. Started preaching to them, and they started walking out, and Dad said, "Mary Lois," my mother's name, "Mary Lois, Mary Lois, close the door so they can't get away." He's going to preach to them. Amen. I thank God for that heritage from my father. I still have some of his sermon notes. I still have a book of, he taught through the life of Christ and had it bound. He just enjoyed the life of Christ so much, he had it bound into one letter-sized book. And I have that. Well, don't abandon your heritage. Jeremiah 12, 7, 8. God holds you responsible for your heritage. Jeremiah 12. And 7 and 8. So Jeremiah is weeping. He's the weeping prophet. And he says, "I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest, it crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage," in verse 9, "is unto me as a speckled bird, the birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble, all the beasts of the field come to devour." So he was having a hard time with his heritage. But God doesn't want you to abandon your heritage. God wants you to pass it on. That's the whole goal of you receiving so many good things here at BCM and in your family and from friends and so forth. What God has passed down to you through elders, through people older than you, that's your heritage. You are to keep it, and you are to pass it on to others. "Be thou my vision," verses 3 or 4, depending on which songbook you look at. "Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance now and always. Be thou and thou only the first in my heart. O sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art." God himself is part of your heritage. We've got to pass it on. When I was in high school, this is before CCM, but there was a song about revival, "Pass It On." I don't remember the tune or the words. I just remember that title, "Pass It On." Well, I do remember a little bit of the words. "It only takes a spark to keep a fire burning." Your spark can ignite revival in the souls of other people. Don't abandon your heritage. When you graduate from BCM, take the heritage with you. Take the memory of those men with you. Take the memory of your professors with you. Our heart is so much for you. I just, if you get an F in my class, I'm ruined for that day. I just, I hate to see failing grades in my classes. It hurts me right here. We're passing these things on to you. We're trying to help you to grow in grace and have something to pass on to others. Don't forsake your heritage. Whatever God calls you to do, don't quit on it. That's part of your heritage. when God calls you to do something, God calls you to be a preacher, God calls you to be a missionary, God calls you to be a pastor's wife, or whatever you believe in deep in your heart, God is calling you to do. That's part of your heritage. Don't abandon it. Don't throw it away. We've had, down through the years, we've had friends that have done that. 1 Peter 5:3. 1 Peter 5:3. Start with verse 2, actually. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Why? God called you. If you're going to be a preacher, God called you that. Okay? That's an heritage from the Lord. God called you that. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Those people that God has given you to disciple, to lead, to teach, to win to Jesus, those are your heritage also. Don't forget that. Don't leave the call of God. Whatever God calls you to do, do it. I'm here, standing here to say to you, it's awesome. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. There were some extremely difficult times. I remember a family that we loved so much. We've got pictures of them when, with, believe it or not, Dr. Paul was a baby once. When he was a little boy, we took a baby. We took them to the mission field, one year old yet. And this family, we loved them. And we've got pictures of them with baby Paul. They were there 3 years in Japan. They took a furlough at 3 years. And they told us they were going to come back and they were going to move to a city near where we were in Yokohama. And they were going to serve God there and plant a church there. And we were so excited. And so they went home on furlough. And then we got a letter back from them saying, we're not going back to Japan. We felt just like you feel when a loved one dies. That's how we felt. There we are on the mission field all alone, the city of Yokohama, 3 million people. They're going to be in a city nearby, and we were so looking forward to that. On a furlough, we talked to the daughter of that family. She was following the Lord. She was walking with Jesus. On our first furlough, we found him in Texas. He was an assistant pastor down there. On the next furlough, their daughter told us they were no longer even going to church. They'd quit everything. Why? God gave them a heritage. God gave them something to do for him. God gave them a call. God gave them people, the Japanese people, to love. And they threw it away. I can't understand that. Keep your heritage.